Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Indie Business Podcast. I'm your host, Donna Maria, and you have arrived at the one place where we empower you to enjoy your life, build your business, and have your way. Well, you guys know me. I am all about helping small business owners to maximize the use of technology to serve their customers and their business's bottom line. And you know, technology is an ever-changing thing, and so we need to be able to keep up with trends. But before we start keeping up with trends, we really have to have a basic understanding of how technology can help our businesses compete effectively in this fast-moving economy. And today, our guest is going to help us do just that. His name is Phil Simon. He is the author of the newly released book entitled The New Small: How a New Breed of Small Businesses is Harnessing the Power of Emerging Technologies. Phil Simon is the author of The Why New Systems Fail and The Next Wave of Technologies. He consults companies on how to optimize their use of technology. When he's not consulting, Phil speaks about emerging trends and technologies. He's also a writer for a number of technology-oriented media outlets. Phil received a BS in Policy and Management from Carnegie Mellon University and a Master's in Industrial and Labor Relations from Cornell University. You can find out more about him at thenewsmall.com, and right now you can talk to him yourself and hear what he has to say about how small businesses can use technology to advance their interests. Phil, welcome to Indie Business.
Thanks for having me on, Donna Maria.
You know, Phil, one of the things I love about your book is that it has fantastic examples of how small businesses have used technology in a very specific sense. But let's start broad. Let's sort of pan out to get sort of the global view of technology. Mm-hmm. And I want to ask you this question. Small business owners need technology. I don't think it's a benefit or that they want it. They absolutely have to employ new technologies to make their businesses successful. Tell me what you think is preventing so many of them from embracing this notion, because I do see quite a bit of that. What are your thoughts on that, Phil?
Sure. Well, Donna Maria, I completely agree with you. I do think that the efficient use of emerging technologies is becoming table stakes. You clearly have to have a compelling product or service, but in order to get the word out or to reduce costs, some of these technologies can certainly assist or make that happen. With regard to some of the traditional impediments to change, I certainly cover that in the book, but without listing them all, there's always the sort of Superman or God complex. People think that they can do everything themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So if you look at a lot of the websites that some small business owners have, I mean, there's nothing wrong with them per se, but there never really is a compelling reason to come back. And you can clearly see that someone had sort of done it by himself or herself, and you can do a lot on your own. But if you're not really good at building a website, or then maybe it's something that you ought to outsource. Certainly many small businesses, as a second example, have been relatively successful despite not using emerging technologies. There's also, I think, a general lack of understanding, because right now if you're trying to get information off of the internet, it can be like drinking water from a fire hose, to quote an example that someone more famous than I once used. So there are plenty of reasons that small business owners are really a little bit reluctant to get into it, and that's one of the reasons, quite frankly, that I wrote the book.
And, you know, it's funny that we're talking about this, too, because my business, as of last month, was 11 years old. And one of the things that I'm thankful for is that from the very beginning, I sort of put these basic technological tools into place. And so adding on has not been an issue for me. It's just sort of been, what's the next thing to add on? What basic advice, as we begin the show today, can you give to someone who may be just starting now? Because I never had the fire hose, right? Because I kind of started with a little bit of technology, because there weren't all the technologies in 2000 that there are now. But for people starting now, what like basic beginner's advice can you give them about approaching technology so that, you know, as they grow their businesses little by little, they can start adding in these things that can help them be successful?
Oh, sure. It's a great question, Donna Maria. First of all, we need to break technology up into different components. And in the book, I do that. I talk about what I call the five enablers, cloud computing, software as a service, open source software, mobility, and social technologies. So you don't wake up one day and go, okay, I'm going to do everything with technology. That's just not possible. There's just too much going on. I think that it's important to start small. So if you think that social media or social networking may be important, then start to kind of put your foot in the pool a little bit. Don't just necessarily dive right in, because if you don't understand how to use Twitter and you just think that it's a tool for you to blast out spam messages or marketing messages, then I think that you're really missing the point and it's not going to be successful. You're going to wind up irritating people or get put on some sort of spamming list. So, you know, I certainly would recommend taking a look at what some successful businesses have done. You know, it's not difficult to see some of the social media, for example, case studies or examples of, with regard to, say, cloud computing, how organizations have saved significant sums of money by putting their data and their apps in the cloud. And again, that was one of the reasons that I wrote the book. I didn't want it to be sort of very abstract and theoretical. I like case studies. I feel like people learn from them. I also feel as if certain case studies like United Airlines and Comcast Cares have been extremely well documented as social media success stories. So I wanted to go in different directions and profile companies of which most people, including myself, before I started researching the book, hadn't heard.
And what a great job this book does of that. I want to talk about one of these examples. There are so many like this in the book, but let's just talk about one to give people an idea of some of the tips that are shared here by way of real-life examples. I love the one about the chief seafood officer and how he uses a blog and other new media technologies to advance his business. And one of the things that you say right off the bat that's been important and integral, really, to his success is that he is being innovative but not tell us what you mean by that.
I'm sorry, you broke up. Innovative but not what?
Innovative but not pushy.
Right. It's a difficult trade-off on my main site, philsimonsystems.com. I wrote recently about what I call the persistence continuum. On the left-hand side, you have passivity. Nothing ever happens to you if you don't do anything, right? The world's probably not just going to discover you automatically. On the right-hand side of the continuum, you have pushiness, right? If you're constantly bombarding people with information, you know, check me out, look what I did, I have a new post, I have a new video, then again, you're probably going to irritate people. In the middle, there's sort of a persistence continuum. So if you're constantly generating interesting content that isn't consistently about what you are doing and why people should come to your restaurant or buy your book or whatever, then I think that people will come back and they will comment, they will engage, they will share. You'll build the sort of community that Tony has. And he's been great with this. I mean, he spends a tremendous amount of time blogging, creating videos, doing podcasts, and he puts stuff out there for the world to consume. And yeah, he uses tools like Mobility. He uses Open Table, which is a mobility platform. If you opt in, you can receive text messages for free Martini Thursdays. But again, that's opt in. So, you know, if his restaurant gets a nice review in a prominent magazine, he may tweet that or blog about that. But again, that's the exception rather than the rule. He's constantly putting out their recipes or in his kitchen videotaping somebody cutting fish, because most people don't live in Maryland or close to it, right? People may be in Alaska, but they're watching his videos, and they may comment on Facebook, and then guess what? My cousin who lives in Alaska, and I live in Maryland, I see this, I check it out, I go, wow, that restaurant's just right down the road from me. So again, he's initiating conversations with people and engaging them when they comment, and as a result, even though it's been a tough economy over the last couple of years, his average cost per check has increased, and his marketing budget, Donna Maria, is zero. So there are successful examples of the book of using each of the technologies, but Tony is probably one of the best in the book and, quite frankly, one of the best I've ever heard of with regard to using social technologies.
I agree. It's chapter 16, and it's worth the book just to read that one chapter. But let me ask you this. Let's dive into something that you just said. You just talked about the cost being zero. That's the dollar cost. Let's talk for a second about people who are sort of stymied because the time cost is not zero. Can you help some of those people understand, even in just generalities, Phil, from your observation of interviewing so many entrepreneurs, why it's worth it to suspend your requirement that you be able to, limit, your time investment so that you can make some things work.
Yeah, I think that's an important clarification, Donna Maria. When I say Tony doesn't spend any money, that's out of pocket. Clearly, he spends a great deal of time. Of course, you can hire people to do social media for you, but I question whether or not that's a wise investment because people want an authentic relationship with you if you're an author or a restaurateur or a law firm or whatever. So I do think that's important. And I do think also that many people get frustrated because they realize if they want to blog properly or create videos or podcasts, it does take a lot of time. And if you start a blog or a podcast, in all likelihood, you're not going to get that immediate traction, right? It's not like the world is waiting for another blog. One gets started something like every 7 seconds. You know, there are more podcasts within a particular niche of businesses than I can count,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think it is important to sort of temper your expectations and realize that you have to be in it for the long term. You know, something like cloud computing or open source software, you may see an immediate sort of ROI. In the book, I mentioned a dental office in Richmond, Virginia, and they saved $20,000 by finding open source, which is basically free, dental practice management software, which, again, saved them $20,000. So for something like that, boom, you're talking about a fairly significant immediate payoff. With the ROI on social media, it gets a bit murky, but I would challenge anyone who says social media is worthless because there's no ROI. I'd say, okay, well, tell me exactly what was the ROI on the recent print campaign that you had, right? And most people are going to say, well, I don't know. Okay, so then, again, why is social media different? So, you know, from my perspective, it is an incredible time component, but it does take the commitment to do it. And I also say in the book, and I'll tell anyone who will listen, if you don't believe in social media, that's fine. You know, I would argue, are ignoring it at your own peril, but you're better off to do it properly, invest the time, you know, have a website, have a Facebook presence, make sure you're blogging on a consistent basis than to just tweet out whatever spam on Twitter about how your company is so wonderful. Because, you know, it's like Chris Brogan, who wrote the foreword of the book, has said in the past, you know, people tend not to watch TV for the commercials. People don't buy magazines for the advertisements. You really do want to make everything about content.
Well, and let's talk about that, too, because as you're talking and as I've been reading through the book, a little bit of a theme that I think we may be able to cover in the few minutes that we have left here is something that I've sort of called the three C's, which I've gotten from listening to you just in the past few minutes and taking a look at your book. You've talked about content, you've talked about community on the show already, and one of the things your book talks about is being a connector. Can you take those three things and tie them into what you just talked about, which is using technology, Phil, and being there yourself? Help us tie those together.
I'd add a fourth C now that you mentioned it, and it's the customer. Because you don't do social media for the sake of doing social media, right? You're trying to achieve something, sort of a business result, right? And then even
the seafood guy doesn't need to see more seafood himself.
Right. I mean, you know, he cooks a mean salmon, but, you know, again, he's this is how he pays his bills. So, you know, one of the points in the book is that all of these technologies are enablers. In fact, even if you look at the cover of the book, the people are holding up the gears. The gears are sort of a metaphor for the different technologies. And I think it's important to remember that. It all starts with people, the people who make the decisions to start these companies, to employ sort of flexible practices through the workforce, to use these technologies and to connect with customers. So it really is all about people. And it's funny because this is my third book on technology, and if someone said, in one word, what are all your books about, I honestly would say people. Because I would argue that, and I do in the book, that from a technology standpoint, you can basically do whatever you want, right? Whether you're a techie or a programmer or you just have deep pockets, if you want to build something, you can do it, right? But never mistake can with should, and the new small doesn't do that. They're consistent. They're not perfect, don't get me wrong. They make mistakes, but they realize that you might have to take a step or two backwards to take a quantum leap forward. And with regard to tying the C's together, yes, you want customers to connect with each other. You know, nothing is more effective than word of mouth. Social media hasn't changed that, right? If I'm on this show and people think I know what I'm talking about, they say, wow, you know, hey, you should check out this guy's book. well, that's probably going to fall on sort of a better or more receptive audience than if I say, you really should check out my book. Right? So it's the same for me.
Right. So it is all about the customer. So let's tie that content community connector together with the importance of you being there, because I want to pick up on something you said earlier. You talked about how important it is, for example, for the seafood store or seafood restaurant owner to actually be present in his use of technology. I have a dear friend who's a fitness trainer who absolutely refuses to get on social media herself. She has farmed it out to someone else. But I got to tell you, when people want to talk with her, when they want to share something with her, perhaps a fitness milestone that they've reached, it's not as much fun to share it with all their friends because she's not going to see it. You have to wait till you see her the next time to tell her about it. So it almost reduces the benefit of your investment of time to communicate with her using her link on Twitter, using her link on Facebook, because you know she's never going to see it herself, and that diminishes the value. Do you agree with that?
Oh, I couldn't agree more. In fact, from my perspective, social media and social technologies enhance, they don't supplant, the need for human interaction. Think about it. If this fitness instructor works with me, right, and I come in for my next appointment and she immediately says, hey, Phil, I saw your Facebook update or I saw you on Twitter and congratulations, you ran 5 miles yesterday. Of course, I'm going to be pleased that she's paying attention to me. Mm-hmm. And unless she has a million clients, right, I mean, she only has 20 or 30 clients, it can't be that hard to follow the people who want to be followed. You don't want to stalk people with Google Maps, right, or come to their houses and videotape them through their windows. But if people are making information public, to some extent they want to be noticed. So I would agree, and I can understand why some people may not want to participate in Facebook. Certainly they've had a lot of privacy snafus over the years. But for something like Twitter or LinkedIn, I think that, you know, you can put information out there that you are comfortable with. You may not want to put out your social security number or where you're going for vacation because your house may be robbed. But, you know, in the book, and by no means is it a social media book, I just want to make that clear. There are many social media books out there. Social media is just one of the five enablers that I mentioned in the book, and Chef Tony really does focus on social media. But just the pervasive use of technologies is really allowing these small businesses to do some really interesting things.
And that is a really good point. In fact, frequently, I mean, I use the term social media because everybody knows what I'm talking about, but frequently I will say using technology instead of social media because for a lot of the people I talk with, their eyes glaze over when I say social media. So if I just am more general saying, you know, using technology, using the Internet, they kind of, you know, a wall doesn't go up as it sometimes does where social media is concerned. Let's talk for a second, Phil, about that connection issue because in the book you talk about, again, Tony, the chief seafood officer, who runs a restaurant. That's how he makes a living. He's not like a networking guru. That's not what he does for a living. He makes salmon or whatever it is. He sells it. He makes a profit. But you talk about how important it is. You mentioned the word community a bit ago. But you talk in the book about how Tony has made himself a connector, therefore more relevant, not only personally, but also professionally. Can you help us understand how important that is?
Sure. He'll do that online and he'll do that in person. For example, he gets to know his customers. Let's say that it's 2:00 on a Wednesday and the rush from lunch is sort of abating. Well, he'll sit down and he'll talk to people. So in the book, I mentioned how one time a woman had come into his restaurant and she was working basically on her last day. She was about to be laid off. So Tony spent 20 or 30 minutes, you know, just talking with the woman, finding out about what she does and how he may be able to help. And it turned out that he wound up recommending her for a job interview to another one of his customers. Now, he does that in person, but he also does that online. So if he notices that there's a conversation going on that may interest some of his customers, you know, he'll forward that person an email. He'll maybe retweet something or mention something on Facebook and tag the person. So he's not only an in-person connector, but a virtual or sort of social media connector as well. And, you know, people appreciate that because anyone can go to any number of different restaurants in Maryland or rarely anywhere else. So what makes you special? And, yeah, sometimes it's the food, but other times it's just because he's a nice guy or there's a certain ambiance at the restaurant or you just want to go in and say hi to the guy because you watched his video. Some people, I talk about being a connector, go up to him and just go, hey, Tony, and they throw their arms around him. They've never met him before, but they've seen his videos. They've read his blog. They listen to his podcast. So, you know, what's the ROI on that precisely? I honestly have no idea, but I would rather have people talking about me in a positive way than not talking about me at all.
Well, and at some point in today's economy, right, somebody's talking about you or the product or service you offer somewhere.
Oh, absolutely.
It's a
complete myth to me. You know, people say, well, I don't do social media. I don't want anyone talking about me. Okay. I'm sure if somebody has a bad experience at your business, they're not going to say anything. They're not going to go on Yelp or Facebook or Twitter and slam you. So from my perspective, you can use the tools, you know, whether you're a big company using something like Radiant 6 or you're just a small company and you want to use something like Google Alerts. You know, there are many tools out there that will help you listen without having to, you know, Hootsuite I use for Twitter, so I don't have to sit there and go through millions and millions of tweets. I'm basically alerted if someone uses at the news small for the book or at Phil Simon about me. So, again, the technologies are helping you do your business better. You're not using them just to brag to people that you're using cloud computing or, you know, you have a new app. That's all fine and dandy, but, again, what are you trying to accomplish, and does that technology aid you in that goal?
So what are some of your tips for using perhaps more littler known technologies or less well-known technologies, I should say, to create community around your brand and around what it is that you do?
Well, it all starts with a website. And I'm a big fan of WordPress. That's a content management system. It is free. You can basically download it. Now, you may need to hire a web developer to create some custom code, but it is pretty WYSIWYG these days, which by that I mean what you see is what you get. It's not like you have to be a proper coder. I've become a convert to FBML or Facebook markup language, and if you go to the new small on Facebook, you will see a custom fan page that I developed over the last couple of weeks. So, again, people are spending, by some statistics, 45 minutes per Facebook session. That's four times as high as on Google. Why not have a cool Facebook presence in addition to a cool website? And it doesn't have to just be the one website. You know, I'm a big fan of Vimeo and YouTube. Those are obviously much more known for creating interesting video content. You know, Hootsuite is very easy, or TweetDeck if you're trying to make sense of the mess that can be Twitter. You know, I'm a big fan of Google Alerts. I mean, the book has so many different tools in there. I can't possibly remember them all. But there's a great little applet called Readability that I absolutely love. You drag it onto your toolbar in your browser, and a lot of websites aren't laid out well, but you still may want to read the post. Well, if you go to any post and then click on this readability applet, and anyone could just Google readability, it basically strips out all of the images and tweets and just gives you a very simple view of the article, and it makes it very easy to read without a lot of distractions. So I know a lot of different tools, and ever since I bought my MacBook Pro a couple of months ago, I've really become an Uber geek. But you know, it never ends. You're constantly learning little tricks and tools that'll make life easier for you.
Yeah, and those are really good examples. Of course, Facebook and Twitter. When you mention WordPress, though, do you mean using WordPress as a blog or using it as something else in the context of what you were just talking about?
Well, it's interesting, Donna Maria, because some people say, oh, I have a separate blog apart from my website, and I'm saying, why split the two? About 2 years ago, I did have Phil Simon Systems, which is my main site. It was run off register.com, and then I had a separate WordPress blog. I realized that that was kind of silly, so a couple of years ago I integrated them, and now my websites, The New Small and Phil Simon Systems, are basically blogs, but it's very easy for me to generate a new page or a new blog post, so I don't really anymore say that there's a distinction between a company website and a blog. From my perspective, if people are on my site, I want to keep them there. And how do I do that? Well, I certainly don't send them away to an external blog if I'm trying to measure the effectiveness of a post or of some pages or content. That's going to be difficult for me to do if I'm constantly sending people away, plus they may never come back. But I think that it is important from an analytics perspective to kind of keep people there. And then once you have, it's almost like a house, right? Your website is your house. Well, then you just have to have interesting conversations. That way people are going to come over and hang out, or interesting parties. If people can't find your house, or your house doesn't have you know, an entrance door, just to continue with the metaphor, people aren't going to come in.
Right, and I think, too, to add to what you were saying earlier, if they don't see you there, even if they do come in, they're not going to stay.
Oh, absolutely, and it's crazy to me. I was reading, I live in Caldwell, New Jersey, because we've had so much snow over the last couple of months, there people could not park on the street. It was actually a legitimate issue, and most of these local businesses don't really have websites or really effective websites, so I say to myself, your website never closes, right? But your business is only open, you know, 9 to 5 when the snow doesn't stop people from coming in. So from my perspective, your website is your, you know, your virtual storefront. It's your 21st century, you know, banner. Why not have a cool one? And the days, you know, don't let anyone ever tell you, Donna Maria, that it costs $15,000 or $20,000 to have a website like thenewsmall.com. I mean, if you know what you want, there are plenty of very reasonably priced developers out there. I mean, thenewsmall.com didn't even cost $1,500, and I constantly get compliments on it.
Mm-hmm. It is very, very nicely designed. That's nice. So let's talk for a second in the few minutes that we have left, Phil, about some of the limitations of some of these social technologies. I know one of the things we're talking about now is you get more value out of them if you're actually there. So a limitation is obviously that automation is not the way to go 100% of the time. Well, let's maybe start with that and then share a few of the other limitations, because we don't want to, you know, technology or even our conversation to overpromise what technology can deliver
right.
for a very small business.
Well, right. I mean, look, I will send out automated tweets to announce a blog post, but if someone comments on the blog post, people will sense if it's very stale or pasted in, and say if you're retweeting something, you only have 140 characters, so it's not like you can be terribly creative, although you'd be surprised. Some people can get a lot into 140 characters. So I think that limitations exist certainly around over-automating. People will know if you're not authentic. I do some blogging for a couple of sites, and on occasion they take a really long time to approve comments, and I've discussed this with these people and said, look, guys, on a Friday someone's commenting on a blog post. You can't approve that comment on a Tuesday. People
right.
are basically raising their hand and saying, I want to continue this discussion. If you wait 4 or 5 days, they're not going to continue it. So there is, in terms of a limitation, almost this electronic leash mentality. You never really want to get away from your computer, your BlackBerry, your iPhone. So I think that sometimes it really can be a bit overwhelming. But if I could say one other thing about limitations, it's that, you know, anyone who thinks that this is a sort of a silver bullet for a bad business model, I think you're out of your mind. You still have to have a product or service that people want. And with social media, the best use of it, and we see this with Tony and some of the other examples in the book, is that you can effectively communicate with people, but then have them communicate with each other about you. And people will find out about your product or service more organically than if you're, you know, spamming the hell out of them or spending a lot of money on expensive TV or radio ads.
Mm-hmm. You know, what else is funny, too, is that if you don't have those basic core business things in order, social media will just make your business look worse. It'll just make it look so much more disorganized. So that's a really good point to make. I love, you know, just circling back to the very beginning, Phil, your point about just, you know, stepping your toe in the water a little bit at a time. And I have to say that your book does a great job of sharing, you know, in very basic terms and layman's terms for any small business owner to understand how they can embrace technology and make it work one step at a time for their business. This is The New Small by Phil Simon. Subtitle, How a New Breed of Small Businesses is Harnessing the Power of Emerging Technologies. Phil, in our last minute, tell us where we should go online to get more of Phil Simon and The New Small.
You can go to thenewsmall.com. You can buy the book on Amazon or Barnes & Noble. It's available as an ebook. There's a Facebook page that I think is pretty good for The New Small. And my main site is philsimonsystems.com.
Great. I highly recommend this for every small business owner. Thank you so much for joining us, Phil, the author of The New Small. Coming up next week on Indie Business Podcast, we've got Dan and Allison Zarella, co-authors of the Facebook Marketing Book. They're going to be here to share how to use Facebook to build your brand and engage prospective customers. New stuff next week right here on Indie Business Podcast. I'll see you then. In the meantime, enjoy your life, build your business, and have your way.